Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season 2 of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
What?
Whoa. Cheers.
Oh, happy, happy hour. Yeah. We've had, you know, Academy Award Emmy nominees here on the happy hour, but not President of the Universe.
No. Because I'm the only one that's ever existed.
Mary McDonnell is here. OMG. We're... All right, let's just everybody try to settle. Everybody settle. Everybody calm down.
I told you I nerded out when you told me that she was coming, so.
I know.
He has on a Frack Me t-shirt. And I said, okay, frack you, honey.
We're nerds. Are you the only one that's played a president and a first lady? So the first lady in Independence Day.
I feel like, as far as I know, I am. So yeah. We, you know, I haven't heard about anyone else.
Okay. That's what I was thinking.
Right.
Okay, I don't even know where to nerd out first.
Who else was a first lady and a president?
Who?
Hillary Clinton.
Oh, yeah, but she did it for real, sweetie. I just pretend.
You led the way.
I showed her how.
You were her role model.
I was president of the universe during her first go run. You know what I mean?
We'll get to all this.
Okay.
We're mostly here to drink and talk shit about Donald Trump. We're just checking our alerts. Is he still president? Okay, he's still president. Okay. But yes, we Emmy and Oscar nominated actress stands with a fist.
Yeah.
Dances with Wolves, Passion Fish. Commander Sharon Radar, of course, on Major Crimes, the President of the Universe, as I mentioned, I think, in Battlestar Galactica. But okay, can we just tell the story again? We told it on the regular show.
What? Oh, about my name?
No. If you feel like we always call this going Eric Trump on people.
Yes.
We're just going, oh, we love you. I made you a macaroni necklace. But I happen to be sitting next to her at our mutual friend Francis Fisher's play.
Jamie's causing an earthquake.
Okay. And the first, let me just explain how this went through my mind. Because you're straight, gorgeous, sex symbol, married, 2 kids. I am gay.
Really?
And my first thing was, I was like, wow, who, that's a human, but prettier. Right? Like, you know how you see famous actor, and it doesn't occur to you because, as I said to you, I don't fucking read every major actor's IMDb before I go out, just in case I run into them.
No. Well, you're shutting.
No.
Yes. But so also, I found myself sitting next to Mary McDonnell, and I was
not Mary McCormick.
Not Mary McCormick.
Right.
And not Rosie O'Donnell. And
no.
Not any of the
That
Irish
would not have
women.
Happened. But my first thought was just pretty. Okay, so there was that, and then
Jamie,
stop it. Jamie. And then then what happened?
Then we started talking.
How awkward is this? You're like, oh, a friend of Francis too. I'm like, oh, are you an actress too?
And
I will never.
But Steph, you have to admit it went back and forth.
Right, but you couldn't have been nicer.
I thought you looked really familiar, but I didn't realize you were the Stephanie Miller.
Right.
And so when you told me, I was a bigger nerd.
Right.
Come on, you have
Which
to admit that.
Weird for me.
We were like, oh.
She's like, you're Stephanie Miller? And I'm like,
and you're really pretty.
Your stands with a fist. Wait.
They've heard the voice. Wait. They've never seen
Are we going to get into another fluidity conversation? Let's hope so.
Not again. That was a Beverly D'Angelo special.
That was a Beverly D'Angelo special.
Fluidity.
No, but anyway, so I was a little like, and then of course, like an idiot, I was like, oh, were you on West Wing thinking of Mary McDonald?
McCormick.
McCormick, right. That you don't
I'll
look anything like.
No, but we get each other's fan mail, and we did a reading once, and we caught up on all that.
You told me that. And so that was like a slow motion, like, you know, when you're spilling the wine on the in the carpet commercial. I was like, no, she wasn't on Westworld. And then I got, like, immediately, like, IMDb turrets. I was like, oh, stands with a fist. Oh, passion fish. Like, then I just started blurting out your credits, right?
You did.
Yes.
And you knew some of them. It was awesome. You just didn't know my name. No.
Let's go. Oh, my God.
No, but everybody mistakes my name. And also, a lot of people don't recognize me. So if I don't say anything,
right,
they don't know it's
right
me. But the minute I say something,
right, well,
the head
whips.
Because
you're like the nicest, most humble human in the world. We were saying the Academy Award Emmy people that we've had here, they're like on time.
Yeah.
Humble. I mean, really, right? Like, no one acts like douchebags that's been A-list. Like, you're just the nicest person, on time, professional. Right?
Well, it takes a lot of work to be on the A-list.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if I'm on an A-list.
I think
I'm like,
yes, you are. Oh, yes.
I'm like an A-minus B-plus gal. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's the A-list and then, ooh, then Mary and a couple others.
No.
You know?
No,
right, like, right there.
No, you're on it.
Well, thank you.
You're on it.
I'll be on yours. I'm on yours.
Hollywood
World.
Yeah.
We nerded out that we did this whole story, and then you were listening the other day. We're like, oh my gosh.
Oh, I love
she's
digging.
I was driving home from a movie premiere when you texted. It was like 11 o'clock, and I'm usually in bed at that time. And I was like, looking at my husband. I'm like,
oh.
Yeah, see, this is the president of the universe.
Well, he'd never watched Battlestar Galactica, and we're doing a rewatch of it right now for him.
Oh,
so
good.
We're in season 2 right now, and we're about to hit New Caprica.
Am I in jail yet?
Yeah, you've been
that's
in jail.
That's when they threw me in jail.
Yeah.
Those motherfuckers.
They didn't know.
I didn't even watch it, and they are motherfuckers,
but
Mary.
They put me in jail. Edward James, almost like my best friend in the world now, put me in jail. They put me in jail. And it was really interesting because Ron Moore basically said, I got to figure out where she's going. And it was gorgeous because usually they put you in jail and don't tell you. It's because they're not sure where the writing's going.
Right.
They put you in jail or they kill you or, you know.
Yeah, I thought it was like a contract negotiation. You're like, you're in jail till, you know, whenever you get a better attitude.
But actually, it was a great story. You know what I mean? It was actually fabulous.
Right.
And it blossomed the whole world. It was great.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you've been on all kinds of panels because obviously Trump and Clinton were hard to avoid at Battlestar Galactica cast reunion. You were introduced as the president we wish we had.
Yeah, I know.
And you said you took inspiration from Hillary Clinton. And
I
when
did.
When she was running for Senate, it became a very timely event for you. So Travis had to explain because I did not know from the beginning. So they blow up the planet as you do.
It's like a post 9/11.
Oh, yeah.
Right, but kind of timely, but go ahead. Explain it again to mommy.
You were the Betsy DeVos. I'm going to put it in Stephanie's terms.
You were the Betsy DeVos,
right,
of the Battlestar Galactica universe.
That hurts, but go ahead.
Okay,
but
she was in space.
Go ahead.
She's on a ship.
Betsy's in space.
Right.
Right. Betsy's in space, and everyone else who's in line to be the president of the United States dies.
Right.
So Betsy DeVos gets to be president.
Jesus
Except
Christ.
That. I have to stop.
Except
you.
You're
I have
not
to stop.
Betsy DeVos. You
Except
actually.
Except I'm not. She wasn't. And Betsy DeVos had not emerged yet, so we didn't even know that that was possible.
That's
right. So basically,
that such a dumb shit was possible as Secretary
right.
of Education.
And that it was so negative. It could be so negative that anybody that's in charge of children's education
right.
could be like she is.
Mm-hmm.
So Laura Roslin was Secretary of Education, but she actually
cared.
Had some ideas.
She was.
Or can you explain the thing? So aliens.
Not aliens, Cylons.
Sure.
Which are robots.
I got it.
Created by man.
Right, got it. But so they nuke all of us and only the people in space survive.
The people who are on spaceships survive.
Yeah. President of the universe
over here.
There's
some people, a few people on the planet.
Right.
But not many. And there's 55,000 in space.
And she's got to lead them to safety.
I understand what happened, Travis.
Survival
Madam
of
President.
The human race. That's why it was a good job.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't just,
like,
you know.
You have kids, you're like,
Republicans
honey,
and Democrats.
What's your job? I'm got to save the universe.
I have to save you.
Well, at one point
all
I was saying, it could either go back like Battlestar Galactica, we end up with Betsy DeVos, or it could go like the Designated Survivor TV show with Kiefer Sutherland.
Yeah.
And that means we get Ben Carson.
Yeah.
Oh.
You see?
Okay, so she saved the world from a lot.
So,
but
you
said something really
but
interesting.
I did, yeah.
One of Battlestar Galactica's most infamous lines, all of this happened before and will happen again. In terms of what's happening now, and you said the idea that humanity could be reduced to 55,000 people all of a sudden and force a collective group of people to see each other as one, to me, is the thing that continually resonates about the show.
Yeah.
Because we're living in a time where the powers that be are trying to create as much difference between us as their pocketbooks will allow. We're unfortunately living at the edge at the moment on the planet. And you said perhaps we can stop dividing each other and seeing each other as the other because there's no different.
Did I say that?
Can I have some rock star cheers? Yes, President of the Universe.
You apparently
were not drinking Chardonnay then.
I was just going to say, we definitely don't drink at these panels. So there's some clear thinking that comes through.
I will stipulate that she has only had one or two sips of Chardonnay.
And I am already a little funny.
But no, isn't that weird? How, like, you know, the whole art imitates life, life imitates art.
Well,
thing?
You know, the scripts that really resonate usually have a little prescience in them. You know, they see forward, and you get it, and you go, "This is not."
Did you think I didn't know what prescience meant?
Because
you're probably correct.
No, I knew you did. And so, do you? Oh my God!
I don't work on my face, but I do.
It means you can sort of see into the future a little bit.
I get it. Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So,
did you see yourself in your basement?
Ironically, I did not see this coming.
I didn't see myself in your basement.
Look, I was on Tonight Show. I had my own show. I didn't see this coming. I remember I had what's her name?
Stephanie is not present.
I had Dionne Warwick on my show, and she was talking about something about the earthquake, and I was like, don't you have a whole network of psychics? Couldn't you have seen that coming? Remember? Mm-hmm.
It's like a Friends Network.
All right. Yes, okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Not really her friends, were they?
Frenemies.
Okay, go ahead.
Frenemies.
Go ahead.
Anyway, you know what I'm saying. So the good scripts have that.
Yeah.
And this, you know, when I read it, it just, I was surprised. I was told that I was going to be given an offer for a remake of Battlestar Galactica, which I never saw because I was doing theater in New York and I had no TV. And that whole era is... I don't know what happened, but I'd heard of it, and I knew that that was not a match, so I was surprised.
Right.
Me and that, and then I read it,
right.
And I said, this is not a television show. This is a look into where we're headed.
Right.
And that's how we felt it and lived it.
But that's more common now. Can I have some fancy theater music? Can I have my James Lipton music, please? Maddie!
Yes, darling. what do you want?
Let's talk about the theater for a moment. Because.
Masterpiece Theater. Okay. I have never been on it, so I'm on it. Woohoo!
You made it.
I made it.
What's your favorite?
I feel like I should be walking.
You didn't know the remake was going to be in Stephanie's basement.
No, I didn't.
No. That's not what she saw coming either.
No, I don't see any of this coming. The writers do. I don't. Yeah. Okay, where are we?
Damn it, I have a lot of prep here. All right.
It's been a long career, Stephanie. Very long.
Career. You need to say career when you're talking about...
career.
Okay, no, because what my point is... I did have a point. Hang on.
Okay.
Well, let me do a U-turn. Okay. No, but a lot of... there's no difference now. A lot of the Academy Award women, Emmy nominated... I mean, they go back and forth all the time now between theater, film, television.
Thank God.
Right?
That's all gone away.
So when you think, like, I'm Tennessee Williams on Broadway. I'm not Battlestar Galactica. What?
Yeah, but you know what? That wasn't the thought. The thought was, it wasn't like although I had just done Tennessee Williams, but it wasn't like,
I know that. That's what I'm trying to find.
Oh, but thank you.
God,
yes, Summer and Smoke.
Hit
with Harry
the music
Hamlin.
Again. It oh will God. Have felt me. Hold on. She also, we have something in common. We have been in a Wendy Wasserstein production.
You
were in the Heidi Chronicles on Broadway.
What did
I
you do?
I played a Holly in Uncommon Women and Others in the Edinburgh.
That's wonderful.
Theater Festival. Well, not really. Anyway.
Stephanie.
Okay. But no, but what I'm saying,
you have quite an esteemed
I've got a few things going.
Theater background,
okay, but
yes.
Here's the thing. It wasn't about, well, I just did Tennessee Williams. I can't do Battlestar Galactica. It was like, how do they, the Battlestar Galactica of the 80s that I had heard about, where do they see me in that world? I'm Prairie Girl. You know what I mean? I'm like New York stage actress stands with fist. I didn't see
space. You were 36.
Space.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't see space.
It was the final frontier, so you should have seen that.
Well, now I know what they meant.
That was also like a major reimagining of a show that was like this campy
completely
science fiction show, and you guys gave it like depth and meaning.
Well, Ron Moore is a bit of a genius.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, he's a genius.
I don't mean to name drop, but we also had Sir Lawrence Fishburne here on the Happy Hour.
Yeah, wonderful.
And we talked about the same subject. No, but just we were saying about that, whether it's a cartoon thing, whether it's a
science fiction,
whether it's
comic books.
And, yes. When you hire like great actors, it does give it a whole other richness and whatever. Like, you don't have to hire crappy actors to do like a, you know, whatever.
I think those divisions are gone. And so we're all trying to tell good stories, great stories in different form.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful time. It's it is sort of like the Wild West, the entertainment industry right now.
Well, I know what I was thinking of, why I don't feel as bad that I geeked out on Mary McDonald.
Yes. Donald.
I knew that. I got it.
Yeah.
McDonald's?
You know, this is a way to remember
because
it.
When you go on YouTube for you.
Yeah.
Well, here you are, this esteemed multiple Emmy and Oscar nominated actress. And I was just like wanting to, you know, so I went online and like there's just things like Mary McConnell, sexy bitch. Like people just put together like montages of you in different things, but just looking sexy as you always do. But I was like,
well, not always, Stephanie. You can be honest. I mean,
that's not true.
I've had a few moments.
They're creepy. I mean, some of these montages.
There's some rough moments in Battlestar.
There's some rough moments. Well, also let's. Honestly, I've died 4 times in my career. So when you die, there's usually a couple of moments leading to that moment that you're like, whoa, what happened? You know what I mean? Except a first lady, no, she crashed in a helicopter looking great. You know what
she
I mean?
She did. She
looked great all the way down.
Yeah.
She looked great after. She didn't. Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah. You know.
I thought I'll die.
Well, you know what? Fuck Will Smith. I mean, seriously. Okay, hold that thought. All this bonding is making me hungry, Travis. What do you say about some Omaha steaks?
I'm always down for Omaha steaks.
I know. You're like a protein machine. They're the best steaks, the best burgers I've ever had. I keep saying it, but it is absolutely true. And I didn't do nothing. I'm a sucky cook. All little like salt, little pepper, fire.
If you can do this,
I'm like
anyone
a cave woman.
Can do this.
Yes, thank you, Travis. You inadvertently said something nice. Here's the other nice thing. I get thank yous all the time from people that send this to their family, because there is no one that doesn't love getting this. Right now, Omaha Steaks giving an amazing limited time offer to my listeners. When you go to omahasteaks.com and type in that code Miller in the search bar, 74% off the Omaha Steaks family gift package.
It's like you're taking part of the cost and just airlocking it out.
Right. Yes. Thank you. It was originally $195. You're going to look like such a big shot to your family. It's actually only $49.99.
You airlocked $150.
What? Oh, my God. Here's what you get. Order now. You get 4 hand-cut top sirloin steaks, 2 premium pork chops, 4 chicken fried steaks, 4 Omaha Steaks burgers, 4 kielbasa sausages, all beef meatballs, 4 perfectly browned potatoes au gratin, 4 made-from-scratch caramel apple tartlets, plus they throw in 4 more burgers for free. Just chuck them in there at the end.
What more do you need?
Right?
That's enough to feed the entire fleet of the Battlestar Galactica.
Okay. This is just, they've been in business like forever. They are the best, and everybody loves getting this. My mommy loved getting it. Again, this limited time package for only $49.99. When you go to omahasteaks.com, type Miller in the search bar, add the family gift package to your cart. Don't wait. This offer ends soon. Go to omahasteaks.com, type Miller in the search bar, send that Omaha Steaks family gift package today. omahasteaks.com. Well, wait, so you wrote a whole piece on your Major Crimes finale. I've never experienced anything quite like it. People's reaction to Sharon's death.
Yeah.
And that was like very sort of personal, even though it's a TV character. Again, people, because you were not just this, you represented something else, this female role model, this whole like, so what was that? Wait, I'm sorry, I didn't see that. How did she die?
She actually died of righteous indignation, is the way I like to say it.
She died of
righteous
indignation.
Very passionate woman, and she got very angry at one of her perps, and she was solving a murder and had a heart failure.
Wow.
She died of her own anger, and it was beautiful.
Wow, I feel like that's going to happen to me any morning about Donald Trump.
I
really feel like I'm going to make myself stroke out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what James Duff is an amazing writer, and we knew that the show was being canceled. So he talked to me at the beginning of the final season, even though not everyone knew it was being canceled.
Right.
And he had this idea to bring her to an end before the show ended. And it had a wonderful dramatic component to it.
Yeah.
and to allow the people who love the show so much to sort of mourn the show,
right,
with while she, through mourning her.
Yeah.
So that was the concept, but the reaction to her death was surprising, I think, to all. The fans got truly, truly upset. And what I think had kind of happened to her character over the year, the final season, was that during that time, Hillary lost.
Yeah.
Her position had been stolen.
Right.
And so there was a projection onto Sharon Rader as the woman, a professional woman, a commander, a leader. And so when she died, all this anger, that some of it was... Yeah. Mixed up in the culture, some of it. I don't mean to compare her to Hillary or myself to Hillary anyway, but the feeling of women in power suddenly not being in power,
not having it stolen from them.
Well, it's also like
I feel like that way. Her life was stolen by a heart of, you know.
Well, the whole Me Too movement kind of came out because like everyone, there's like this backlash against Trump and that toxic masculinity.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so it's all.
She kind of died in the middle of some very recently, just woke. We've all been.
Yeah.
Those feelings, well, women's feelings.
That's why the Lady Bam podcast is so fantastically popular right now, ladies and gentlemen.
Happy hour, Stephanie.
Oh, hi. Mary's currently hosting
Lady Bam, but
it focuses on conversations, discussions with and around women in entertainment and media. It's obviously in the wake of Me Too, but it was born out of Major Crimes. What would Sharon Rader do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just wanted to know more about her. And I went to James Duff and I said, look, we're thinking about doing this weekly podcast and get questions from women primarily about Sharon that they want to know. Do you care? And he goes, no, I think that's great. So it just evolved into a weekly podcast and they would send in questions about the episode. But then when it was all over with, they were missing it. So we, somewhere along the way, someone called me Lady Bam for Badass Mary. And so, and I think it was this you snort.
I snort. I do. I feel comfortable enough with you.
Yeah. I kind of feel like you look like my sister a little, except younger.
It's fantastic.
You know, and prettier.
What?
Huh. And so that's what happened. So Lady Bam just became, filled a need for all of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's starting to grow. So that's cool.
Cue my James Liston music. What does it feel like to be such decorated? Not just actor, this is what happens, though. It's not just that you're...
I'm sorry.
We could be sisters.
Oh, my God, you can have a snort off.
I know, we could have a snort off.
You've had every other kind
of... and we're from Central New York and Western New York.
Yes, let's get to that.
Everybody snorts there.
Let's get to that in a minute.
Thank God. Okay.
She walked in and was like, what other Ithaca from Buffalo?
Yeah.
Okay.
isn't that cool?
All right, but let's start for just one second. So, obviously, Oscar nominated. First of all, can we get her a fucking award? She's been how many times nominated for Oscars and Emmys? For fuck's sake.
I did win one. I won one of those things. It's like one of the TV awards. You know that where the fans vote.
Oh, no, I have it.
What's it called? What? What?
People's Choice.
No, it wasn't, but it was the other one.
I got it.
There was two of them. There was People's Choice and the something else.
All right. Well, Battlestar Galactica won a Peabody. Okay. Hang on a second. Emmy nomination, of course, for Major Crimes. But beyond that, there's something about your career, about playing strong women, that then it has led to, you know, you've obviously gotten all these other awards, the Gina Award from Women in Film, the Leadership Excellence Advocacy Award from Women in Cable Communications, the Pell Award for Lifetime Achievement in Arts.
Yeah.
How about the Independent Spirit Award?
Yeah, well,
that was for a movie.
Right.
Yeah.
And the Obie Award.
Oh, that was for acting. I think you're talking about...
I'm Googling.
But you seem to embrace this sort of, you know, even though you're obviously an amazing actress, but you're playing roles. But you're right. Whether it's the people's reaction to the death of your character on Major Crimes, you've embraced the role of the president of the universe. Like, you've embraced the role of being a female leader. Because I think
It gets, you know, as, and I'm sure you have been through this way more than me. But if you speak your mind, people are very grateful, and so then they project back on you. And so, as the difference in us is that you actually spend your life, and I am awed by it, focused on the essential moment-to-moment life of our country, of our world.
I have no other choices, but thank you.
You have no other choices. That's all right. That's a big destiny, even if you do it with
right.
Whereas as an actor, you get projected on. And what
happened choose to speak or not.
You can speak or not, but what happened with me is that I've had a couple of roles where people needed to talk.
Yeah.
And Battlestar Galactica, we got brought to the UN.
I love that.
What's that doing at the UN?
I love that. You testified at the UN.
So, yeah. It was so intimidating.
Right, but I love this. An allegory.
Well, I didn't even know about that one.
Yeah. But I love this part of your bio. An allegory of 9/11 and the war in Iraq. The series was widely acclaimed for an examination of the issues of war and human rights. And in 2009, McDonald appeared on a panel at the UN to discuss the parallels between the show and real-world issues of terrorism, race relations, and gender equality. That's a big fucking deal, as Joe Biden would say.
Thank goodness it was myself, Eddie Almos, Ron Moore, David Icke.
Yeah.
So Eddie Almos. Now, have you ever had him on this show?
You're a good friend.
Show?
I know you're a good friend. I mean, hook us up.
He'll be on in a second. He'd be here right now if he knew I was coming. Call him. He's in the valley.
Hang on. Let's
hey now.
Hey now. Right, go ahead.
So Eddie, of course, is sort of a global activist. Mm-hmm. And so for him, this was very natural to be at the center of a UN conference.
Yeah.
And so what I was able to do that day was kind of absorb it and relax and meet all of these amazing people who work there.
Yeah.
Who take the issues that we were dramatizing, and it is their life's work. Yeah. And it kind of changed the way I saw what being an actor was in that moment. And so I would say Battlestar really shifted, brought this idea that the discussion can keep going beyond the narrative.
Mary, you have two.
Yeah.
You have two kids, right?
I do.
You have a daughter.
And a son. Yeah.
But that's what I thought was interesting, too, about playing strong female characters. And I was talking about Nancy Pelosi recently and not backing down in this leadership fight.
Amazing.
And saying, I'm really good at what I do. And I said, what a lesson that is for our daughters.
Incredible.
Right. And when I say that, I mean not losers like me, but people like you that have actual
offspring
daughters. Right. But no, isn't it true about, but that's all like what your roles and your activism has been about as well is not making women feel less than.
Yeah.
That's part of the Me Too movement. Yeah. I have value.
Yeah.
I love that Nancy Pelosi is balls out. She's like, I have earned this. I am good at what I do. I am not backing down.
She's amazing.
It teaches women, because women were supposed to be humble and don't say you're good at things, and right?
Well, don't you think that really and truly what's happening on the planet right now is that millennia of women silenced, whether it's been through horrible, violent acts of rape or just more subtle versions of not being heard or having to adjust the way you think in order to hold on to a job or whatever it is. I feel like we are at a moment where the silencing is coming off in every area.
That's right.
So you have a Nancy Pelosi kicking ass and saying, I'm not going to apologize to you, and I'm not going to let you diminish me on live television.
And part of it is, you're right, with the misogyny and Hillary getting this power stolen from her that she rightfully earned and rightfully won. And that's like where it started with the Women's March,
right?
Where you go, this horrible misogynist pig that was illegitimately installed over the much better qualified woman.
Right.
I guess that's the only silver lining, has created this incredible
movement
and backlash, right?
Well, there is you don't want to say there's a silver lining because the planet could be ruined tomorrow because of this situation.
Right.
So it's like silver lining.
We could be Battlestar Galactica Part 2. Are you available to be president in case he blows us up before he goes down?
I am, because I've been through it before.
There who is better qualified?
We don't want Betsy DeVos.
To be president.
Listen, I really know how to use an airlock. Just give it
Come on, people.
If we only had one in D.C.
Mary,
no, I'm not kidding.
But this is, I'm not kidding either. This is what I'm saying, is that as much as we joke about stuff, you go, what do you think he wouldn't do before he loses power. But he is so desperate now. You're like, North Korea, Iran, would he order a nuclear strike? But
it seems to me that we're dealing with...
retrain on the goddamn airlocks, Mary. Jesus Christ.
You know, I tried to order some on Amazon and send them to Washington, but they didn't answer. I don't know. It would be a wonderful thing if we could eject narcissism at large. There's Donald Trump, who is kind of the manifestation of like all of this, the patriarchal narcissism of how many, thousands of years.
Yeah.
But it is dangerous. And we can joke.
No, beyond. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
All right. So
okay, let's drink.
Let's talk. Yeah, let's drink. I know. I feel like I have been neglecting your Chardonnay needs. Please. So speaking of kids, you are, you've been married for how many years to Randy?
34, I think.
Now, so you're pretty solid in that and in your sexuality.
Yeah. Stephanie.
I'm just kidding. I am kidding.
You're
I feel like your little sister.
You're not kidding.
You're very funny.
Am I solid in my sexuality? I think so. Mary,
I'm kidding.
I don't care.
She knows what she likes, Stephanie.
I feel quite complimented, actually. Though.
She likes Randy.
I like Randy.
She's Randy sexual.
All right. How old are your kids?
My daughter is 31. Oh,
no way.
MG, Olivia. O-M-G. She just got accepted. I'm going to brag.
What?
Olivia said actress, singer, songwriter, rock and roll star.
Wow.
Everything. And she just did a pivot. And she's on her way to do her MBA in business and entertainment. Because, you know, it's like these young women are looking at all of this and saying, I'm not going to ask them for the money. I'm going to create it.
Yeah,
it's that simple. And that's a Nancy Pelosi influence. That's a Hillary Clinton influence. That's a Me Too.
That's right. So, because you also, you had kids relatively late, 35 and 42, a daughter and a son.
I did. And my son, Michael, is a beautiful singer-songwriter, wonderful. Wow. They're very, very talented. Hello. Michael Mel.
Oh, okay, I was getting McDonald sounds way too close to.
No, he couldn't do that.
Oh, see, he's
going to
go through that too.
Yeah.
No, he isn't because he's Michael Mel.
What a fool. No, that's, God damn it. No. I'm McDonald.
No, but he isn't. He's Michael Mel. He's his dad's name.
His dad's name.
All right, fine.
He took it. Thank God.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Right. It ruins all our fun.
All right, so wait, but we're both from, what the? You were born in Pennsylvania, Wilkes-Barre.
Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania.
You went to SUNY. SUNY.
I did, Fredonia.
Fredonia.
Yeah. Hello, did you go to SUNY?
No, I went to USC.
Oh, yay.
Because I rebelled against, I'm like, because my parents said, you can go anywhere, not California, it's too far.
Right, so then so you went there.
I went to California.
Yeah. Well, I went.
I got a degree in the. Where's my James Lipson? I got a degree in the theater from the drama department at the University of Southern California.
Yeah.
Which has gotten me this
job
in my basement.
No, I went to SUNY Fredonia and changed my life.
But from Ithaca. So I'm from Buffalo and started my first radio job in Rochester. So we're homegirls.
Yeah, we're homegirls.
Yeah.
It's great. It's great.
I
really love women from that part of the world, by the way.
I know.
Yeah, there's something there.
Let's talk later.
I know.
You instantly bond.
And we snort.
No, but wait. The other thing. Okay.
Yeah.
I just one of the fun facts. After graduation, you moved to New York City. While looking for acting work, you were a Fuller Brush saleswoman?
Yeah, I was.
Door to door? Come on. You have to be at a certain age to understand what that even is.
I know people
don't
even
know. What is a Fuller Brush?
Well, remember, Fuller Brush was a company that came to your homes with little boxes. Ding dong. Hello. Fuller Brush man here. And
it's like Avon calling.
It's like Avon calling, but it was for, Fuller Brush here. Do you need any cleaning supplies? And then they would sell... everything from mops to,
how'd that
spray
go for
cleaning
you?
Things.
I sold customized pens right out of college. That didn't go so well either.
Well, it went well for a while because they had a special in hair brushes, and my hair was down to my butt.
Then. Oh, stands with a fist
so
hair.
So people, longer. Oh, way longer.
Yeah. Dakota hair. Yeah.
It was off-Broadway hair. And, right? Barry Child, Sam Shepard hair, right? So they thought if they bought the hairbrush, their hair would look like mine. So I sold a lot, but I ended up owing Fuller Brush.
That's a little bit like kind of grifty, like the Trumps.
Yeah, well, it was a little shady. But
you're
here,
you'll have this hair if you buy this
brush. I didn't say it. They projected.
And then they look like Stephen Miller, and they're like, keep brushing it.
It's coming out. There's nothing there. But what happened was I ended up owing Fuller Brush money because they had a special on these little vacuum cleaners that you could fold up into a thing.
Oh.
So I bought them for everyone for Christmas and I did.
And so you owed money.
And
yeah.
I added
all right, good
wrong.
Job. Well, it's a good thing acting worked out. Okay.
It is a really good thing.
Also, we have something in common. Well, not in common. You were a competitive synchronized swimmer as a child.
I was.
Wait, what?
Was exceptionally bad at it. I have told this story before, but I, at the Lockport Town and Country Club, I did the synchronized swimming meet with my best friend Lori Nodine at the time, and Lori was a very good swimmer and synchronized swimmer. I could not do anything except for an oyster where you just kind of collapse and float to the bottom of the pool. So Lori did all the fancy things and I just did oysters.
We called them clams.
And then the judges were like, that's not synchronized because you're not doing. And I'm like, well, I can't do any of that shit. So I just please help my friend Lori.
I was more like Lori. I was really good
I know,
at it.
Right? You're my older sister that's better at everything. And I'm just like, I can't do it.
No. I had four sisters, right?
Okay.
And at the time, three of us.
Because you're Irish and it's the law.
It's the law. There were five of us. And three of us did synchronized swimming for years. So we did sister routines.
Oh, wow. I know you.
We competed.
I know you.
You do. Yeah.
You know that
and
routine?
You know what? Yes, I do. I know you. I know. We swam at the Philadelphia Aquarama with the dolphins, but we had to get pulled out. Yeah. Oh, my God, Stephanie, that's great. Flipper.
They call, that's what's happening with the Trump thing, right?
Fast.
Manafort, Flynn.
Yes!
Everything's coming magical for circle for this podcast.
So you're working on all the hits.
That is amazing.
Thank you.
Oh my God, you could have just done that. You didn't have to dive in.
Can you still adopt me? You can adopt me, can't you?
I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, it's so weird. No, I do feel a familial closeness, not just where we're from, but my best friends were the Richard sisters, Irish Cackle, seven sisters.
Oh, wow.
Hang on a second. Let me see. I can still do it, I think. Hang on. Okay, hang on. Oh, Tanya, Sandy, Tracy, Shannon, Tara. Yeah, I know the whole. They were my best friends. Seven Irish sisters.
And what did they do?
In Lockport, New York.
What did they end up doing?
They went to Catholic school with me.
Did they harmonize? Did they do any of that?
They were, you know, jockettes like I was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Catholic school.
Yeah, Catholic school. Did you go to Catholic school?
I sure did. I went to many because we moved a bit.
12 years hard time. How much for you?
Well, eight.
Oh?
Eight. I got out. Because when it came to Ithaca, there was no Catholic high school. So, out.
Yeah, is that your excuse?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Sister fucking Charles Bronson wouldn't accept that excuse. She would have hit you with the Board of Education.
My favorite nun was Sister Donald James. Men's name. Hello.
They did have men's names.
She was so cool. And I all of a sudden she said, well, I won't be here next year. And we were like, why? We want to come visit you when we're in sixth grade and you're teaching fifth. And she said, I'm going to get a doctorate. And I went home and said, what's a doctorate?
I
looked at, you know, domesticity with my mom with five daughters and, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, doctorate, that could be cool. Maybe I'll be a nun. And then puberty.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
no.
That went out the
and
window.
And now you've decided to be an actress where there are montages on YouTube called Sexy Bitch. Which is a little, it's not her fault. She's just sexy. People just do things on YouTube. I was like, can I see something to do with her Academy Award nominated acting? And not just slow motion pictures of her music from scenes. Okay.
That
is in some guy's spank bank. Just stop it, for God's sakes. I only had so much time. I was like, I would like to get.
Or some woman's spank bank.
Right? Thank you. Hello. Yeah. Okay.
What Stephanie's doing tonight?
We have Travis Louise. It's like incest. I'm her baby sister. I love these fun facts. You have twice played alongside a non-human named Boomer, the dog in Independence Day, and the Cylon in Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah. They like that name in space.
Yeah. Yeah. You've appeared in 4 films with the amazing Alfred Woodward, Grand Canyon.
Woodard.
Right. That's what
you
I said.
You called her. You did the same thing
can
when
you
she was
get
on
her
the
in
show.
Here so I can embarrass myself with her, too? Passion
you called
Fish.
Her to the show and she did the same mistake yeah. with her name.
Blue That's Chips okay. and Mumford. She's fantastic. You guys amazing. Have amazing chemistry.
Amazing. And we should be working now. We should do something now.
Yeah.
It's about time. Yeah.
Wait, I mean, it's like any other human relationship, right? Chemistry. Because
yeah,
you guys
chemistry
just
in
Passion Fish and whatever,
absolutely.
Like you go, oh, my God.
No,
you,
I think that's yeah. right. There's chemistry or there's not.
Okay. So what have we not covered in terms of, hang on, hopefully. Oh, here's one thing I want to talk to you about. Just in your whole, like, playing strong women and whatever. You were talking about playing Laura Roslin in Battlestar Galactica. You said a great experience of discovering what I think is all too common thread in women, although I think it's changing now. It used to be sort of common in women over the age of 40 who sometimes, if they're lucky, are given an opportunity to discover the power that they truly have and didn't exist in them. And that was the bottom line of the Laura Roslin experience. Yeah. You've had experience a lot of actresses have had where you played Noah Wiley's mom, and then yeah. you played the daughter in Stands with a Fist of a guy that was, what, like 2 years older than you?
Like, yeah, but he right. wasn't, clearly wasn't my father. Right. It was an adoption.
I just can't understand.
Yeah.
But, yeah. right? But I mean, yeah. it's like the famous Sally Field thing. She played Tom Hanks' love interest and then played his mother in the next film.
It's true. I played Bradley Whitford's stepmom.
Okay.
Not long ago.
Well, yes.
A while ago.
When you were in the role of Mary McCormick on West Wing?
Yes.
Right.
And they borrowed me and said, what? Now you'll be Mary McDonald. No. Yeah, it is weird. You move around and you kind of go, oh, no, I have to see you this way. Okay.
Right.
Or you have to
right.
see me that way. It's a bizarre life.
But is that ever going to change? Just the whole, because first of all, you seriously are drop dead gorgeous. And I feel like that, but
Stephanie.
That happens with a lot of actresses that. You go, but still, you need to play now someone's mother that you were just.
Is it going to change?
You don't look like Noah Wiley's mom, and you did not look like. what was your kicks? What was his? Your dad's name and stands with a kicks.
Kicking Bird.
Kicking Bird. You didn't.
Kicking Bird.
How old?
Graham was.
He
was a couple years older than me, but he was my adopted father. He wasn't my father.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah, he found me out in the prairie.
Sure.
And
so that was like
life.
A little like pedophilia yeah. oriented. Sure.
No.
Okay. Sure.
Oh dear. Is it going to change? Is that your?
Yeah.
Is that the question?
Yeah.
Not yet.
Yeah.
I think we're changing it. The content's changing. More women are there writing. More women are, because
that's
of all
the
these
key,
platforms.
Right?
It's the writers.
Like what your daughter's doing, right? Like, go back to school, get the money yourself,
write it
yourself.
Right? Write it yourself,
yeah.
Fund it yourself, and say this is what people want, which they do want. They do want women to continue to be full and vibrant
yeah.
and authentic, and we don't go away.
Yeah.
We live really long lives.
Yeah.
And they're full and beautiful, so write about it.
Just because you're my supportive older sister now. By a couple years. She's not old enough to play my mom.
I can't play your mom. But I can play your younger aunt.
There you
like
go.
Your mother's younger
like
sister.
Super cool aunt. No, but I mean you're right. And I mean you are overly complimentary, whatever I do, but I think it is true a lot of us that don't fit a certain niche by a certain age. Like
yeah.
I just did my own fucking thing. Yeah. I just created this and it's not much. It's not I'm not Oprah, but you know what? Like I get to do what I love every day.
It's
and
really
I applaud
important.
What your daughter's doing.
Oh yeah.
Because, you know, I had a friend, same thing. She's like, you know, I'm too smart to just be an actress. And I'm she you know.
Well, you know what you get put as an actress, you don't always your brain isn't always asked for.
This is what I hate because you are so smart and so many women actresses I know are crazy smart
yeah.
activists and
yeah.
kick-ass women.
Yeah.
And I'm so sick of this paradigm that the Republicans have put us in, like, oh, just shut up and sing, shut up and dribble, shut up and act. You know what you're talking
shut
about.
Up and do
and
worse.
Then we
yeah.
can elect Arnold Schwarzenegger governor and we can, you know, have God knows. You know what I mean?
Yes,
there is
I
a,
do.
There is a double standard in terms
yeah.
of that we have so many people like you that are so smart, that are so that you go like, what? When did we lose our First Amendment rights because you went into acting, right?
Well, I've been lucky though, Stephanie. If you really look at it, because right. I never really fit into an ingenue situation, so the roles that I've played have been a little off, you know, the
right.
center,
right?
And quite often we're in at least in inside stories that had a meaning and intelligence to them. So I got to illuminate through story, perhaps, than the character that maybe was underwritten, but because the people writing are wonderful.
Nothing's underwritten when you get done with it.
Well, yes, that's what I was trying to say, but I was trying to pretend I was humble the way you stated
that it was. Was the best acting job of all, pretending you are humble.
And this is how I actually
there are no underwritten roles, only underplayed roles. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah,
sorry,
no,
what saying?
True. I'm just saying, you know, I think that actresses are now being let out of the cage. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like not going to happen anymore that the actress gets to be belittled on a set or underwritten for too long.
Me Too has
it's
been an
just
amazing
going
moment.
To. It's changing everything.
Yeah.
And Hollywood, you know, I mean, oh my God, what a mess that way. So we have the obvious, really blatant, horrible stories to look at.
Do you have your Me Too story that is your the most?
I don't have a Me Too story that is on the level that needs, you know, that even calls for the kind of attention these women so deserve.
Yeah,
and the support. But I do think we all have had in our careers, if we've lasted. We have had moments where the belittling was so, could have ended it if you were willing to allow it to hurt you.
How did you survive all that in Hollywood and have this success after success and
because
strong
I
woman
didn't
character
fit in, I wasn't at all a sex symbol to these people.
YouTube and, would tend to differ, but okay, we'll go look at it after.
Well, YouTube is new. I mean. I've become this
well,
as an
filthy.
Older woman. Do you know what I mean? And when I was a younger woman, I was not at all in that. I didn't fit into that at all. So I was kind of lucky. So as Kevin Costner said over and over again, and he meant it sincerely, but I kept saying, stop saying that. Part of why he cast me was because he met an actress who had life on her face. I was, you know, 37 and had some crow's feet. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And to him, that was a compliment. He was complimenting the fact that he was also saying he was willing to go beyond the idea of who his starlet should be. Do you see what I mean?
But isn't that that whole movie?
It's almost like a weird back.
It worked for me.
Right.
But do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I did not fit into that, and therefore, I was spared a lot of this.
But for that
that's
word,
why the whole movie worked. I remember when I heard about it, how long it was. Right, wasn't there subtitles? Like, the whole thing?
And people were like, they were calling it Kevin's Gate.
Right,
and
you're like, this is going to be awful. And you said when you flew in there, like, this is going to be a disaster.
I didn't think it was going to be a disaster, but I thought, what have I done? I don't know what I'm going to do. This is like, I see tumbleweed. Which, by the way, is the name of my son's band. He's awesome. Anyway, but I looked out the window and I couldn't relate to where I was. What have I done? Yeah. Why do I think that this, you know? But for Kevin, he rented or made an agreement with the local town. So he showed dailies every couple of nights in a gymnasium, school gymnasium, and the whole town came. And he had, you know, beer and soda and popcorn. And it was the smartest thing because we were watching the most extraordinary footage.
Yeah.
And yet we were reading the Hollywood Reporter that was saying, what a disaster. What are they doing out there in the prairie, Kevin's Gate? And we knew it was brilliant.
Yeah.
So he was very smart.
No, and
very
I didn't man. Think I would like it. You're just like, oh, I can't believe. And it just was. And you were extraordinary in it.
Thank
and
you.
It. You know,
it was an amazing, you know, and when they asked me to audition for it, I had just done, you know, Three Sisters at the Guthrie. I'd just done Chekhov with a very
Chekhov, ladies and gentlemen. you don't understand. She's done Tennessee Williams, Wendy Wasserstein on Broadway.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So then they said, will you audition for this cowboy and Indian movie that Kevin Costner's doing? And I was like, are you kidding me? I'm not going to get that. There's no way.
Right.
Why would I bother? A lot of attitude, you know. And so my agent called back. She goes, but I heard it's really good. I said, well, can I read it? Well, no. No one can read it.
That's exactly what you'd be expecting.
And I'm like, okay, so I can go to the library and read Shakespeare, but I can't read a cowboy and Indian movie. the Kevin Costner. I was horrible. I was so snotty and bitchy. And she called me back and she goes, please, you can go into the hotel and the casting woman will allow you, as telling actors they can sit there and read it as long as they don't take it. Oh, God.
All right. Okay. I am from Broadway. You don't understand. I'm a classical actress from Broadway.
But you know, I wasn't any of those things either. I just had really bad attitude. I was just
I'm a snotty Broadway actress.
I just want to sit at home in my jammies and read it.
I just didn't see it, you know, and I didn't want to make the effort. I'd just gotten back to New York and... But I did, and I read it, and about halfway through, I put my head down and wept, and I thought, I have just dodged a major bullet of my own making. I almost did not even read this, and now I have to play her.
Right.
And that's what I sat down with. I said to this woman, I've got to play this role. What do I need to do? And she kind of went, oh, really?
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, what do I do? Well, you come back tomorrow and meet Kevin and read these scenes. And then they said, but you don't need an accent. And I said, well, I can't do... Kevin said, you don't need to even try an accent because nobody knows what the hell she'd sound like. I mean, who knows? Right. Like, we have no recording of her.
Right.
And I said, well, I don't think she can be played without an attempt at the language because that's at the center of the trauma. And he went, fuck. Okay. Oh, can I say that on here?
This is an interesting thing I want. Okay. Have you not been listening to me?
Yeah. No.
This is an actress from Broadway.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Sorry.
It's
too short, Sean. Don't worry about it.
So I did it. I did what I thought.
I'll say.
And he went, oh.
Yeah.
So I feel like my life has had a little bit of that in my career. A lot of luck in moments where either I didn't see what I should be doing.
Or you overcame your own Broadway snottiness.
I overcame my own just general snottiness, not Broadway snottiness. And also, I also couldn't get those other roles. I couldn't get those starlet roles.
Right.
But I got that role.
But why? Because you're leading Lady Gorgeous. I mean.
Well, I don't know. I think there's a certain type that I wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, I was a jockette from Western New York, Central New York.
You're perfect for me, excepting being straight and married and happy. With kids.
I know.
Other than that, what? What? Travis, stop looking at me like that.
I know, but it's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, your kids sing. You must sing. Do you sing?
No.
Really?
My husband sings. Oh. He's a beautiful singer.
All right.
I sing at
I was trying to make her competitive about Beverly D'Angelo singing as Patsy Cline to me last week.
Oh, no. You couldn't pay me.
That's fine.
They let me sing at Thanksgiving after a few wines. And then they don't care.
And I bet it's spectacular.
I used to harmonize really well.
No, but it's weird. Both of your kids are singers. They got that from your hubby.
Well, like, I have a good ear. Like, both of my kids will say that I can hear something they're recording or whatever, and I can hear what has to happen.
Oh.
So I can hear it.
I can.
But somehow in the translating of it, vocally, it goes a little raw.
Yeah.
Yeah. But my
Did I mention that I played Holly in Uncommon Women and Others at the Edinburgh Theatre Festival in Scotland?
And did you
where I also played Lucy in You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. But I just remember the musical director. When I was doing one of the numbers she's playing, and then she's looked at me, she just goes, what do you hear? Okay, because that was just, it was not whatever notes she was playing or not. Not the notes I was playing. She's like, are you tone deaf? I'm like, probably what we're dealing with.
The fact that I couldn't sing actually helped Holly Hunter to become a star. Because we did a play, and that's my husband, Randy, that's where I met him doing this play, and Holly was in the play, and Frances McDormand was our understudy.
Oh, dear.
Okay, go figure.
Yeah.
And I was playing Holly Near, a character based on the, do you remember the singer Holly Near? She's out there still doing amazing music.
Yeah.
She's an activist and an extraordinary political singer and artist and et cetera, et cetera. So this play was sort of loosely based on her, and I was supposed to sing Hey Jude a cappella in the middle of the show. And what happened was that I couldn't do it. I panicked every time I tried to sing.
Did it attract feral cats? Was it, Hey Jude?
No, it sort of came out like, hey Jude, don't bring me down, which of course would bring everyone down.
That's a cat.
I know, I hear it. Okay. So anyway, one day at rehearsal, they kindly said, you know, you don't have to do it.
Oh, no.
And Holly goes, I'll do it. I'll do it. And so she did it.
That's fantastic. So wait, here's one other weird thing we have in common. So okay. Passion Fish was Sales.
John Sales.
And one of his first films was a super hot Lizzie movie. That was one of the reasons I realized maybe I'd like to Lady Lake. What was the name of that? I can't remember now. John Sales. Google it. One of John Sales' first movies was
a super hot Lizzie.
Like, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Man.
Oh,
I don't
okay.
know.
Anyway. Okay. So you playing opposite Robert Redford and Sidney Poitier.
Poitier. Yeah.
What happened? Do you get intimidated?
I was.
The way I did sitting next to you in the play?
Oh, Robert Redford.
Yeah.
I had to play his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
And my very first line in the movie is to look him dead in the eyes and say, we're not getting back together. And so the very first read-through with the studio and everybody back in the day on sound stages when they couldn't just watch on their cell phones, they had to come down and listen.
Oh.
So it was packed.
Yeah.
And I looked at him and I said, what is it? I couldn't say it.
Yeah.
I turned bright red, and he just stared at me for a while and said, you okay? What's going on? And it became, like,
yes.
horrible and funny.
Yes.
But eventually I found my sea legs, as they say, with Bob. I was so intimidated, Stephanie. I was in love with him when I was, like, 15.
Of course.
You know?
Yeah. You should have just kept playing that song. What is it, Taylor Swift? We are never, ever, ever getting back together.
Yeah, again. Yeah. Well, she
just
didn't
as
it
your
yet.
Motivation
Taylor
in
Swift
your dressing
wasn't
room.
Born yet.
Oh,
I couldn't play.
See,
a song.
She was of no goddamn help.
And you think of Liana.
What?
Liana.
Liana. That was the John Sayles Lizzie movie.
You're right.
I was in college. I was like,
Yeah, John's a genius. As
Lady
well.
Like. Yeah, I know. I thought I was like
brilliant.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Wait a minute. Tell us about ER quickly because you worked with George Clooney. First of all, it was a
I worked
sitcom
with George,
first, and then it was a...
No, they're not connected, except for George. So
he was in both.
Okay. He was in both. ER that I did was... Well, then I did the other ER, but it was E period, R period, the comedy.
That's what I thought. I was like,
and it was
not...
Elliot Gould, and I was his boss, his young boss, and Jason Alexander was our boss. Conchita Farrell was the head nurse, and George Clooney was her nephew who worked as the pizza delivery guy. He had a recurring, and he was the cutest thing.
Yeah.
Oh, he was just the cutest thing. So 10 years later, I'm on the set somewhere at Universal doing a show with Gene Smart, right?
Right.
High Society.
Isn't
that the best?
I love that show.
It was so great.
I told her, I'm like, you need to watch this show. It's a bunch of...
you would love it.
It's a couple of drunk, rich ladies.
I had to get through all the goddamn Mary McDonald spank bank material on YouTube. I couldn't get to the good shit before she got...
She was living your fantasy life.
Jesus.
It was wonderful.
It was Gene Smart.
13 episodes. It was me and Gene, and it was kind of the American Ab Fab, but it was a little bit too... It was premature. They weren't ready.
Yeah.
But it's really funny. You got to watch it.
Yeah.
So I was doing that, and George showed up and said hello.
Yeah.
And he was doing ER,
wow.
The drama. And then eventually I did ER.
Of course you did. Yeah, Noah Wiley's mom.
Noah Wiley's mom.
I just feel like there's nothing better than watching, like, two great actors, you know, at the top of their game. Like, you and Alfrey in Passion Fish, but multiple movies. I mean, it really is... There's just nothing, and it seems like they always say, like, they make you make each other better.
You do, because you're in the moment with someone that is throwing, you know, fastballs.
Right.
And if you're not ready and you're not in the moment, it just goes right. It whizzes right by.
It goes in every business, because I know people always say, like, oh, you know, you are so generous and you have so many people on your show. I'm like, do you get the people make me look better that are good? Mm. Like, I feel like it's that insecurity that makes people go, let me have people on that don't make me, you know, that I can feel like I look better.
No.
I thought, like, people that are great make you better, right?
They
don't you find that in acting?
Oh, my God. It is the whole thing. It's that you want to walk in to work with someone that you put you, like, makes your heart beat.
Yeah.
Because you don't know
they
what
raise
they're
going
to do. And they raise your game. And you have to be present.
Yeah.
Like, I have to be present with you. I cannot get drunk. Well, I could.
I did not give you that courtesy, but because I'm nervous.
Yeah.
Listen, mostly the point of this podcast is get drunk and talk shit about Donald Trump. You are too classy because, as you know, you are from Broadway.
We did. We talked a little.
Yeah, we did.
We got
but
I mean,
she wanted to airlock him.
It's not just the Battlestar Galactica, you know. and just strong female characters, things that you've done. But what? How do you personally? Because I literally feel like I'm going to stroke out every day. How do you feel? Because you were so close to your emotions as an actress. How are you doing getting through this Trump presidency and this just chaos and this?
That's a great question. And I was thinking about you as I was driving over here, and I was thinking, I don't know how Stephanie and people like Stephanie, who are deeply immersed in making sure we understand all this. You don't walk away from it. You don't turn it off.
Yeah. Psychologists say,
and it was on there.
Psychologists say turn it off. And we're like, what do we do if we can't? Right?
Yeah. I have to.
Yeah.
I have to go in and out. And the part of that is the actress, because I can't not absorb the emotional implications of it. And so the actress starts getting fired up. And I can catastrophize. Actors catastrophize. That's part of what we're paid to do. So we take a little moment in a script that another person would just say, well, he just said to you, hey, how you doing? But your reaction to it gets layered. And you immediately, your mind and your brain and creativity, you can see it into something really awful or something amazing. So if I spent every day, which I quite often do and then have to pull back, dealing with reality, I would be kind of a holy wreck emotionally.
That's hello. Welcome to my world.
So, yeah, I don't know. I take lorazepam. You know, it's
we say
nice.
From 6 to 9, it's therapy for all of us.
No, I mean, it's hard. It's really, really hard. Yeah. How do we look at anything?
Yeah.
You know, 60 Minutes this weekend about plastics. I mean, we are just at a point
on the planet. How do you look at the 2-year-old that's dying? The Trump administration won't let the mother come from Yemen to say goodbye to her 2-year-old who's dying in the hospital. How do you... We just killed a 7-year-old that we didn't give food or water to, that we caged.
Yeah.
After turning themselves into Border Patrol.
I think that there is a real danger in... Well, obviously, we're living through a really dangerous time on the planet. But I do think there's a danger that each of us faces in that we have to be able to stay in the moment and see people kindly and see and project it. I really believe that. It's not just me trying to find a way out. But no, I believe that if we're always thinking about the dark force that's at large, and we're always sort of feeling, if we're batting that around constantly, we have no way at all to counteract it.
Yeah.
But you know.
That's why you're president of Roslyn.
Why you're president of the universe. And I have to say, personal quotes that I saw in here really actually inspired me. Mm. You said we have to get back to the beauty of just being alive in this present moment, what you just sort of said. And then you said, light up the world. The world needs your light. And it's interesting. I say that to people all the time. And I think you're right. Like, that's why I always say, take care of yourself in this resistance. We need every single one of you. We need your light to get through the darkness. As you know, Rachel Maddow and others say, like, we have not lived through a moment in our history
ever.
We need your light desperately. Stay in the light. And you, I just love the, you know, I just thought that's why you're like my soulmate. You're my big sister soulmate. Cause I was like, that's my quote. The world, I mean, I say that to people all the time. Don't give up. The world needs your light, because we are fighting darkness like I don't think we've fought in our country before.
Well, I don't think the planet has fought it on this level. It is sort of Star Wars time. It is Darth Vader.
Battlestar Galactica time.
Or Darth Raider, as they called me on Major
Give us
Crimes.
Some music for that. Give us something. We'll go out on it. Give us some.
But you're full of light. Oh. And I don't know how.
So are you.
I don't know how you keep it up. So thank you.
Well, you know, I'm just here
in
my basement.
And these guys, you got these beautiful guys with you.
Here in my basement, childless, single. Alone.
No.
Somebody, one of my friends is like, Steph, you know, maybe you're supposed to be single. You belong to the world. I'm like, fuck you. But listen, the president of the universe of Battlestar Galactica has told us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? We need your light. Stay in the fight with us.
Stay in the fight.
What a thrill. What a pleasure this has been. Do we Eric Trump you too much? Because we did both make you macaroni necklaces.
I'm wearing a Battlestar Galactica shirt. I like walk out the door and I'm like, I wore the shirt for you.
I had the fist t-shirt.
I had two other shirts I could have worn in my bag.
I had the fist t-shirt on today.
I don't mind any of it. I don't. It's
nerds,
great.
We're nerds. Mary McDonald, what a light you are in the
thank
world.
You.
Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Cheers.
Happy,
bye.
Happy hour.
Merry Christmas.
Yes. Yay. This will be our Christmas episode.
It will.